You're walking. That's about it for my announcements. I do have some other things I'm working on to tell you about, but I gotta wait. Don't you love that? I gotta wait, man. All right, we on everywhere? We on everywhere. Everywhere we on. All right, Kingdom Perspectives, the book of Acts. How many of y'all been enjoying this teaching? By the way, I received a letter from New Zealand yesterday, and if Julie, if you're watching, God bless you. We love you. And it was really encouraging to hear from New Zealand. We've heard from other countries, but they just are down there thanking the Lord for us. Amen. And you just don't know where this message goes. You just don't know who you're touching and who you're reaching as a church. So we're so grateful for that. And I'm sure there's many other nations. It's just a little hard to send out mail sometimes. In fact, the mail was, I think she sent the card sometime in February and it just got here. So that pigeon was really tired. Airmail, y'all get it? Wow, you guys, must be too cold, amen? All right, the book of Acts. Father, love you so much. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hide me today behind the shadow of the cross. Let Jesus get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. So thankful, Father, what you're doing in this church, in this ministry. We need you, Jesus. We're very desperate. We're in a very, very desperate and dangerous hour. And your word is the only truth that we can hold on to be a shield and a buckler for us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You know, speaking about dangers, let me just divert for a second. And the hour that we're living in, if you didn't get a chance to see the interview last night, then you won't fully understand this. But Brother Byron had a word. In fact, it tied into the word I had on Sunday. And of course, other words that the prophetic community have spoken and words that have come from this church about some false flag events and some things dealing with Russia. Well, just a few minutes ago, before I came into service, I saw in the headlines that Nikki Haley has said to the UN that there would be a possibility of Russia using chemical weapons in maybe a city like New York, which if you heard the interview, you'll see that attachment. And you whether there's any truth to that or not, it's the fact that there's so much going on out there and so much, you know, correlation in the prophetic that, you know, these are very dangerous times, very troubling times. And to have prophecies come out and then a day or two later see it in the headlines is very powerful. And so I wanted to bring that out for you so that you and I would continue to prepare and be ready for anything at any time. So I'll deal with more of that on Sunday, I'm sure. But that's the hour that we're living in. It's a very dangerous time. And we'll just see what happens with that. But we know it's going to take place eventually with America being invaded and all those things. So what's it have to do with the book of Acts? It has everything to do with the book of Acts. So let's go ahead and start our teaching. But last time we got together, remember the message of the first church must be the message of the last church. Again, it doesn't matter the prophetic parallels. It doesn't matter the prophetic hour that we're living in. We still must preach the message of the cross, the message of Christ, the message of the resurrection, and the power of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't change. Like I was saying in the interview last night, all the principles of the Word of God will stay intact. They'll never change. I don't care if I didn't have two nickels to rub together. I'll take a chicken and tithe it. Watch out now. You know, I'll still walk in the principles of giving. We'll still walk in the principles of faith. We'll still walk in the principles of divine healing. In fact, we'll see them increase over the coming days. And what a day it's going to be. So the message of the first church must be the message of the last church. Peter's sermon was more than a historical reality or reciting of truth. It was the prophetic declaration of what the New Testament church or New Testament was empowered to say. This is what we're empowered to say. We were to stand up like Peter did. We're to be bold like Peter did. And the only way we're going to do that is to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and in fire. The first church was branded by the Holy Spirit to preach the truth. The modern church has alienated or separated herself from the truth. so evident. We don't even have to go over this again, but it's so evident out there in our churches that we can't find preachers to tell the truth because they want to tell you about this themselves. Be careful of preachers who want to tell you all about themselves. Let me try that again. Be careful of Christians and preachers who want to tell you all about themselves and their accomplishments. We need to hear about Jesus. Amen. Nothing wrong with testimony, but you know what I'm talking about. So many times you get around Pastor Me and Me Ministries, and it gets really nauseating. All right, Acts chapter 2, part 2. Remember that? The second outpouring is what? At the end of days, the end of days. Remember, right now is the greater the great harvest time. He was talking about that in verse 21, the great harvest time, Acts chapter 2, verse 21. I believe that's not only was for that moment of salvation, but I also believe it is an outpouring for harvest that's coming. And by the way, how many souls were saved in the county jail? 8 salvations on what day? Sunday. Sunday. See, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. Whether it's 8 salvations in a jail cell or it's 1 salvation in Walmart or your family member, it's harvest time. Amen. And we have to continue. Nice segue. Was that pretty good? We have to do this. We have to understand. Try to work to witness to somebody. Sow seed. You do not know who's gonna respond to it, but just sow the seed. Amen. Remember the word saved there was sozo. 48:82 means to be saved or rescued from danger. If any generation needs to be rescued from danger, it's this one. If there's ever a time we need rescuers, if there's ever a time we need heroes of the faith, it's right now. We need people to stand tall. We need teachers to stand tall in our schools and other places of employment and in the military. We need some heroes today, and you'll only find them if they're branded by the Holy Spirit. Because my personal view is this: if you're not branded by the Holy Spirit, if you don't have passion and compassion, you're not going to say anything. You're just going to be a nodder in church, and that's all you'll ever do. All right, the central figure, verse 22, was talking about Jesus. Then we went on to the earthly ministry. Remember the 3 things that I gave you? The earthly ministry, slain from the foundations of the earth, and then the resurrection proof and the power of that. And this is what Peter was preaching. Peter wasn't being historical necessarily. He was being present. He was saying right now, these are the things that Jesus is. This is what Jesus did, but he's doing. We must remember in faith and must remember in Scripture in the life of a Christian, it is not what God did, it is what God is doing. You want to write that down. It isn't what God did, it's what God is doing. He said, let there be light, and light has never stopped. Come on, somebody. Jesus rose from the dead, but guess what? That same resurrection power hasn't ended. It's still here alive in us. So it's not what God has done, it is what God is doing. He's doing something in me, and he's doing something in you. The day that construction stops in you and stops in me is the day that we end living. We end our life. We end being who God wants us to be. So let him do the work. Amen. All right, so we talked about David, verse 25. He was going back to Psalm 16, 8 through 11. It's confirmation. Remember, it's Old Testament and New Testament confirmation. There's no separation of the Old Testament and New Testament. There's no separation in who God is. God didn't all of a sudden, get things right when Jesus came, as some modern theologians will try to teach you and say that Jesus came to teach God grace. You think I'm crazy? That's a lot of the theology, and their mindset is that the Old Testament God doesn't exist anymore because he got things right. And I'm like, you're an idiot, because he never changes. The Father never changes. The principles are still the same. Yes, there's some things that go to the cross and die per se that don't go on through grace and through the New Testament, but God never changes. Amen. And we're watching the fullness of God through who? Jesus Christ, his son. So anyway, sometimes you have to explain that again, because if you really want to get messed up in theology, just let a scholar talk to you. Just let a scholar talk to you. He'll really mess you up. All right, so Kingdom Perspectives, the book of Acts for tonight. Here's some things I want you to write down. Man, I'm still charged up from last night. I just feel like preaching. Here we go. The book of Acts is the revelation of Christ within us, the hope of glory. The book of Acts is the revelation of Christ within us, the hope of glory. We're going to watch as we go through the book of Acts, Christ within us, the hope of glory. Remember, the word hope in the Bible is not maybe so. In our mindset in America, and I guess it would be the same everywhere in the world, when you say hope, it's maybe. Come on, somebody. You ever heard somebody say, well, I hope it works out. Oh, I hope to be there by 4. That means they're not going to be there by 4. 4 a.m. maybe instead of 4 p.m. But hope in the Bible is expectancy. Everybody say expectancy. I hope. So it's the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory, or the expectancy of glory. Okay? So the book of Acts is the revelation of Christ within us, the hope of glory. That's why we have to go back to the basics. We have to go back to the book of Acts. We have to go back to the first church and see where we missed it and see where they got it right. You might want to write that down. We need to go back to the book of Acts and see where we missed it and see where they got it right. There is value going to the discarded values of the past. There is valuable lessons by going to those discarded truths of the past. Be careful. Be careful of modern teachers, preachers, and scholars, pastors who lead you away from ancient truth found in the Word of God, historical truths about God, the laws of first mention about God, the very foundational truths of God. Be careful when they say, I got a new revelation. Well, your new revelation better be on old revelation, because revelation breeds revelation. Be careful. Be careful. That's how people get off in cults and they end up headed in some faraway place, not only physically but spiritually, with some slick-haired, shiny-shoe preacher that's trying to rob you more of your money, more than just your money, your soul as well. Okay, so the book of Acts is the revelation of Christ within us, the hope of glory. The revelation, here's the next one, the revelation of the hour is not found. This is going to be long, so hold on. The revelation of the hour is not found in a dead historical church. The revelation of the hour is not found in a dead historical church. It is found. You ready for this? I want to make sure I'm not doing too fast. So the revelation of the hour is not found in a dead historical church, but it is found in the church that has been baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. The revelation of the hour, meaning this, the current word of God, the current vein and the pulse of God, the current understanding of heaven and earth. The revelation of the hour is not found in a dead historical church. What do I mean by that? I mean by that is churches that are dead because they live in historical teaching. They live in dispensational teaching. They live in facts and figures and never coming to the present of God's presence. Does that make sense? The now of God. Now, the now of God will connect things historically. As I mentioned at the beginning, revelation produces revelation. But there's many that stay in dead old revelations of denominations and institutions that they never connect with God concerning the now. Okay, so I'm going to read it again. The revelation of the hour is not found in dead historical church. In a dead historical church, but it is found in the church that has been baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. Again, the church that has freshness of the Spirit of God, fresh revelation, fresh relationship with God, fresh worship with God. Amen. I would rather be in a church that expresses the presence of God than to be in a church that is multi-thousands of people living in dead historical facts, but never living true faith.
Does that make sense? This word is alive. There's no doubt about it. But if you stay lethargical, again, I can take this Bible and I can lay it on a shelf and it has no power of itself. It doesn't. There's atheists that have Bibles in their home or some form of scripture. There's people that, you know, have Bibles and all those things and have no power. But when I open it and I apply my faith to it, then it becomes alive. Then it becomes alive. So historically, it's phenomenal. And many churches live in that historical relic museum type of relationship with God. But I believe that if you get baptized in the Holy Ghost and you keep the Holy Ghost fresh and you allow the Spirit of God to dwell among you and in the house, nothing's impossible for God. Amen. So I love that. All right. So let's go on. And I said to this, the next thing I said, why? Why is that? Because revelation, watch this, revelation comes from illumination. And illumination is realized by his fiery presence. Let me say it again. Because revelation comes from illumination, and illumination is realized by his fiery presence. Remember, I don't have time to go back to the tabernacle and the lampstand, which brings you to revelation knowledge. When you have that illumination, you begin to understand, you begin to see things in the Word, but that only comes from his fiery presence. That only comes from a relationship with him. Again, you can have facts and figures and be lethargic. Anybody ever sat underneath a preacher who was just lethargic? A lot of facts, a lot of figures, a lot of information, a lot of numbers, a lot of knowledge, but there's no life in it. Nobody gets healed. There's no deliverance. There's no power. There's no manifestation because there's no fiery presence. There's no illumination that comes from his glory. Amen. And so, again, going back to that, why? Because revelation comes from illumination, and illumination is realized or it's displayed by his fiery presence. I'd rather be under somebody that can have an awesome presence of God and understand and see the Word of God than somebody that's got a big old alphabet after their name. You know, 16 degrees. So what? That's about the temperature of your heart. Y'all catch that later. How about minus 16 degrees? Amen. I'd rather have somebody on fire from God, with God and from God, just seeking the Word and seeking his presence and getting the illumination and getting the revelation of the Word. All right, finally, this is the last plank I'm going to give you to walk upon that bridge. The apostles understood this and were never the same, and neither will you. The apostles understood this. What? Everything I just said. They understood these facts. They understood that the illumination, the revelation, it all came from the presence of God. They didn't understand it walking with Jesus. They only knew in part. They only understood his earthly ministry. They couldn't understand resurrection. They could understand what he was doing. They saw the miracles. They experienced these things, but they could not understand the second half. And that, again, is some of the problems with the modern-day church. We only understand the historical part of Jesus. We only understand some of the earthly things of Jesus. But now they were walking in a completion of it. It's called the full gospel. They begin to see things, Brother Mike, they couldn't see before because it didn't add up before. See, that's why we have to walk in revelation knowledge through the power of the Holy Spirit and be baptized in the Holy Ghost, have a fresh relationship with God where his Shekinah glory and the Kavod, which is the Old Testament word for glory, sits upon us in a weighty, tangible way. And then it takes the scales off our eyes. And then we see Jesus beyond the New Testament. We see him beyond his earthly ministry. Now we see him as priest. Now we see him as high priest. We see him high and lifted up. And our whole perspective changes because now we're not walking on an earthly plane with him. Now we're seated in heavenly places. Can't get that in a lethargic church. You can't get that in a dead historical church, a dead historical understanding. You have to have fresh revelation and fresh knowledge of the Lord. All right. Is that good? Did that get you started out? All right. Well, get in the book of Acts. What are you doing? Let's go.
Did I tell you I loved you earlier? Well, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. It's good to be loved. Amen. Be bad to live in a house you're not loved in. I mean, that'd be pretty bad when paying the bills and you ain't even loved. Amen. All right. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Let's go to verse 33. But basically, you know, here's Peter. He's on fire, man. He finally stands up. He finally has something to say. He's anointed. He's now understanding the heavenly ministry of Jesus Christ, because now he's got a download from heaven. He can see clearly the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's walking in that truth. Now he's starting to preach this thing, and he was talking about who? King David. Remember, he was in the city of David. David's grave, if you will, his sepulcher was right down the road from where they were, and so he was using it as a great illustrated sermon. That's another thing you need to see here, that when you're anointed of the Holy Spirit, everything becomes an illustrated sermon. He was able to take that realization and remember that David was considered what? A prophet, not only a king, but also a prophet. So this is highly, highly awesome and highly anointed of Peter, because here's the guy that was cutting everybody's ears off. Of course, there's only one that we know, but I mean, here's a guy ready to just whack your head off, and now all of a sudden he's using illustrated sermons. He is anointed. He's under unction. He's got a clear mind. He's standing up. Remember, he said, "Can I speak freely?" No, he said, "I'm going to speak fearlessly." Remember that? I'm going to speak fearlessly to everybody in here, and I am going to take a risk at insulting you. Come on now, by mentioning David. King David, in his city, in the time of the festival, in the time of all this stuff, I'm going to use him as my illustrated sermon. Why? Because I'm bold, and I'm on fire, and I'm going to bring glory to Jesus Christ. And that's what he did, right? Verse 32 said, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses." He said, we're witnesses to this, that this same Jesus, the one that you crucified, the one that you slandered and slaughtered, if you will, on that cross, we're witnesses. And guess what? You're witnesses too, because you're witnessing the power of the presence of God. You're witnessing the sounds of tongues coming from all corners of the earth. So guess what? He is that Christ. He said it in verse 31. He spake of the resurrection of Christ. Now watch verse 33. This is where we're going to start tonight. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which you now see and hear." Now watch this. A few things I want you to write down. First of all, the right hand. I want you to write this word, D-E. X-I-O-S, D-E-X-I-O-S, Dexios, D-E-X-I-O-S, that's 1158, Dexios. It means this, and write this down next to it, it means honor and authority, Dexios, honor and authority. So look at verse 33 again. "Therefore, being seated on the right hand of God." Therefore, being in honor and authority. We must remember that. So Peter begins this message on this part in verse 33. He said, "This same Christ that you crucified, this same Jesus, this same person who walked among you, did great and mighty things, he is now in honor and in authority." But you want to put all there, because he has all honor and all authority. And I'll show that to you in just a second. So you got that? Honor and authority. Honor and authority. Here's a key. If you honor God, you'll be an authority. If you honor Jesus for who he was as his earthly ministry and who he is in his heavenly ministry, he'll give you great authority. Again, that's the problem. We cannot look at him historically and just minimize Jesus and minimize miracles and put it away for the days of the apostles and put it away. That was Jesus in that hour. If we lock God into that box, then we'll never let him out to the reality of who he is in our day. And that's how we miss it. We have to release God for who he is. We have to release Jesus for who he is. He is both in honor and in authority. Amen.
all honor and all authority. And let's watch that. So therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, everybody say exalted. Here's the word for that. This is again in the Greek for exalted, HUPSOO. Hoopso. HUPSOO. That's 5312. If you want to go ahead and just dive into that, man, and get that word out. Hoopso. What does that mean? It means the very summit. The very summit. You can go no higher than the very summit of God. Amen. So he says, again, this same Jesus, this Christ, this is the one that you crucified. This is the one that you did it to. This is that very one, Jesus, who is now in all honor, all authority in the very summit of God. You can't go any higher than him. There's no higher court in the land. There's no higher authority in the land. That's why when the doctor says something contrary to what the word says, you say, I'm going to go to the summit of God. I'm going to go to the Supreme Court of heaven, and I am going to challenge your report. I see it. I understand that. I'm not in denial. But I'm going to speak to it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so Peter was showing them, in contrast with David, and I'll get to that in just a minute, but he's trying to show them, because remember, David was the king, man. He was so honored and revered in Jewish history, of course, because of his great things that he did, the conquest, the conquering, the battles, his love for God, and just being that beloved David, and out of his loins and out of that genealogy would come the Messiah, but they couldn't see it. Remember, they couldn't see it. Why? Because they had historical blinds on them. This is why, again, many churches are dead, because they have historical blinds on them. They don't fully realize that Jesus has all honor, all authority, and he sits on the very summit of God, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If he wiped blindness out of Bartimaeus' eyes, guess what? He'll wipe it out of yours. He's the same. He hasn't changed. So that's why we have to live in that fresh fire. It makes me want to sing that song, Fresh Fire. So very summit, the very summit. So watch this. It also means to administrate. This whole right hand of God exalted, all of it, if you put it together in the Greek and you get an understanding, it is all honor, all authority at the very summit of God to administrate. Jesus is the administrator of the Word of God. He's the administrator of the affairs on earth that deal with scripture and faith and the kingdom of God. He's the administrator. Come on, you ever had an issue and you called and you got Peggy? Some of y'all know I'm talking about the commercial. This is Peggy. It's some dude in Alaska, you know, in a hut somewhere in an igloo or whatever. And you know, and you try to go so far and you can't get there. So you say, I need to speak to your manager. Can I speak to a supervisor? And then they change their voice. I can't stand it when they do it to me. This is Bob. I'm like, you're not Bob. You're in Bombay. I know exactly where I do that. I don't know about y'all. I have a lot of fun with the call centers in India. And if you're watching from India, we love you. We love our Indian friends and brothers and sisters. But I do. I mess with them. I'm like, your name ain't Bob. And then they'll say, you're right. You're right. It's not my name. And I'm like, you're so cool. You want to come to America? But the truth of the matter is, I don't want to go to Bob and Peggy, man. I want to go to the administrator. I got an issue, and you over there going, how many of y'all heard that in the background? They're playing chess. They're doing something. Playing Space Invaders. They're not looking up your problem. I think that stuff's recorded. And then you hear the voices in the background. They're in the closet somewhere. But anyways, I don't want to talk to them. I don't like mid-level management. Take me to the CEO. Take me to the COO. Come on, the CFO. Take me to the El Presidente. And so this is who Jesus is. He is the administrator. You can go no higher in his authority. And this is what Peter is saying. This is why I want you to see this, and I'm belaboring this and really drawing this out. Because here is Peter, you know, big, giant, burly, fisherman, scaredy cat Peter, who's now baptized in the Holy Ghost, full of fire, and he's laying it out. Remember we taught earlier how he was laying it out, man. He was just carving these guys up, and then he's really on fire now. Because he's saying, this Jesus, this one that you crucified, man, he is the administrator over all this. And in fact, he's bigger and badder than David. Watch, you'll see it in a minute. So, therefore, being, verse 33, being on the right hand of God, exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. Now, let's dissect this just a little further. So we know he's the administrator. We know he's the supreme. We know you can't go any higher than him. But notice what he says here. Watch, again, verse 33, the second part. Having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. Peter's not talking about himself. Peter's not talking about them as witnesses. Peter's talking about Jesus receiving the promise of the Holy Ghost. You heard me say this before, that there was a tag team, that when Jesus came to put the blood on the mercy seat, that there was a tag team with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost came. Jesus received the permission to administrate the Holy Ghost on the earth. Oh, y'all need to hear with me today. He received that authority and that honor. Remember, the three in one, there's no division, equal authority in the Trinity. But to understand this in our mindset, that Jesus was set above with all honor and all authority, and at the very summit of God, the very administrator of God, he administrated the Holy Spirit. He received him. And then watch what it says. You're reading the same Bible I'm reading, right? So we're reading English here. Having received of the Father, who gave it to him? The Father. Remember, this was a promise. The Holy Spirit was promised. Having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this. Who did this? Jesus. You'll learn later on that the administrator of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is who? Jesus. When I lay hands on people to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, I pray in the name of Jesus that he would baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Why? Because it said he would baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost and fire. Well, he can't do it if he doesn't have administration abilities or power. I can't walk into any other church and start administrating. First of all, they're going to throw me out of my head. I can administrate here because I have authority. I have honor to do that. You allow me to do that. Is that right? And so that takes place. And God gives me that opportunity. He gives me that privilege. And he gives me that honor. And so Jesus received that honor of God. Again, this wasn't a power trip. This isn't hire me and hire you. No, God used Jesus as the Savior of the world. It was his very expression of himself through his Son. And when Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the grave and he sat himself down next to the Father on his right hand, he was highly exalted above all powers and principalities and powers. And God said, because of that, here is the promise that I give to you to administrate to the world, the Holy Spirit. So God now allows Jesus to be everywhere by his Holy Spirit. Do you see that? It's an awesome understanding if you just follow the scripture and take a look at what it says. So go back there, the second part. Having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed, who? Jesus. He shed this forth because of what he did on the cross. It all goes back to Jesus. It all goes back to the Lamb of God. It all goes back to him being King and Lord and Savior and Messiah. Awesome. Now watch. So we see that, right? Then look at the last part it says. Which you have now see and hear. I want you to underline that. Write that down in your notes, because this is a very powerful principle of what Peter was trying to say. So again, man, he is laying it out to these Pharisees and Sadducees. He's laying it out to the Jewish community, everybody that's there. listening. And he's declaring great truth. He said that Jesus was what? Highly exalted. He was in honor. He was in complete authority. He's administrator. But then he goes on to say that you would see and that you hear. That you see and that you hear. This is a New Testament principle and foundational truth that the church should be seen and should be heard. That Pentecost should be seen and it should be heard. That Christianity, the New Testament church, should be seen and should be heard. In other words, we're not to take the baptism of the Holy Spirit and bring it into a back room, like a lot of modern churches do, because they don't want the cameras to see somebody falling out. They don't want to hear somebody praying in the Holy Ghost. They don't want all that stuff. They don't want deliverance up at the front. They want to take and relegate and delegate the Holy Spirit to the back room to specialists. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Instead of doing it all open in front of the world to see. And they don't want to be seen and they don't want to be heard. But Peter says that all of this was done in the open. Remember, take this into context. Where did this happen? It happened in Jerusalem. Where did it happen? It happened at the temple. It happened right there for everybody. They heard the bam. They heard the boom. They saw it. They experienced it. They heard with their own ears. They saw the phenomenon. They experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They didn't run back to the upper room or get in some room and hide and say, okay, this is the baptism. They were like, poof. They kicked the door open like, woohoo, here it is. Here's the promise. Jesus is highly exalted, all honor, all authority in the very summit of God. And he tag-teamed the Holy Ghost and he gave the promise like he said, and he's administrating it right now. Wow. That's far from where the modern church is today. Because we don't want to embarrass anybody. Oh gosh, please. Oh, we don't want, you know, we're surely not going to call a devil out in service. We're not going to deal with the Jezebel. No, 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 no. We're going to try to counsel them. We're going to talk to them administratively. No, we're going to use the administrative power of the Holy Spirit not to hurt and embarrass anybody. But if they need deliverance and that time happens to come, we're not going to say, time out, wait a minute, wait a minute. Don't manifest yet. We're going to take you to a back room. Honey, if it's happening full bore right in the middle of a sermon, time out. Let's take care of it now. Because guess what? That is the service. The service isn't to hear me preach only. Seriously now, that's what a lot of preachers think and church thinks, that this is what it is. We go in there, we have our song, you know, we have our little offering, we have our cookies and milk, and then we go home. Men, in a service, anything can happen at any time. If a healing breaks out right in the middle of preaching, then let it be. If a prophetic word comes out, it comes out. Y'all ain't here. And that's exactly the way we're here and ignited. Whatever God wants to do, let's do it. But many think it's all about that little program that's cut out and that preacher's got to get in there. He's got to say what he's got to say. So everybody can hear him or her. And the truth of the matter is we're a hospital. So if we get somebody come in from the ER, and we need to do, some of y'all look at me like calf staring at a new gate. Elders like, please don't let it happen this Sunday. Dear God. I'm first person I'm calling for, the elders and deacons, amen. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You know, we take our church services and we only want to be seen and we only want to be heard according to what's our program and what our plan is. And that can't be. It has to be whatever God wants at any time, at any moment. Okay, so y'all be prayed up for Sunday. Because you never know what God's going to do. So many great things have happened in this church, and we're just open to the Holy Spirit. But to see and to hear. So remember that's New Testament life. You need to be seen, and you need to be heard. Okay? So Peter brings that powerful truth out. Man, I got a long way to go. Verse 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens. Everybody say whack. I mean, that's a whack across their theological skull. He smacked them. I mean, he was like, psh. Remember who the audience is. The audience is not you know, just a bunch of people hanging out. These are theologians. These are scholars. These are Sanhedrin. This is the Pharisaical, Sadduceical people. These are the people that are walking around stiff-necked, their nose up in the air. And, you know those kind of people you see on Sunday. Those type of people, so holy. And he just smacked them in the head. Watch it again. He said, for David has not ascended into heaven. He said, I'm not talking about your historical figure. I'm not talking about the guys that you worship, the people that you hold so dear in your religious mindset. He said, I'm not talking about the patriarchs. I'm talking about Jesus. You see this? Watch. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he saith himself. In other words, David said this. Listen to every word Peter is saying, because he's laying down a powerful, powerful foundation. But he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. So Peter's saying, let me explain something to you guys. Let me wipe the mud out of your Pharisaical, Sadduceical eyes. And let me show you truth. Let revelation give you illumination. Let this fiery presence that God has put on me, this is Peter talking, let me show you truth. And David was not the Lord that he was speaking of. He was talking about the one you crucified. Verse 35, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Everybody say enemies. Now watch this. This gets even gooder. You ever ate something that got gooder and gooder as you ate it? This is gooder. Watch again. Verse 35, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Here's what he was saying. And he just, now he's gone from just rabbit punching. Now he has just given them a full body thrust, a full body slam. In the Old Testament, in the Middle Eastern times, whenever a king was conquered, they would take their foot and they would put it on the neck of that king or the neck of that enemy to show them that they have conquered him, because the neck represents what? Authority. Because the head is the authority of a person. He said, I'm telling you that David didn't go up to heaven. He didn't ascend. He was talking about his Lord, which is my Lord, which is your Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he ascended and he is now highly exalted, all honor, all authority in the summit of God to administrate until when? Until his enemies become his footstool. Do you know who he was talking about? He was talking to the religious people. Until they became conquered, till they became overtaken by truth and revelation of who Jesus Christ is. I'm going to prove that to you. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know. Who's he talking about? All the house of Israel. Everybody sitting right there. Everybody standing right there. Everybody that crucified him. Everybody that said he was just, you know, a son of a carpenter and he was this and he was that. He said, let all the house of Israel know. Everybody that has studied the Old Testament and studied the patriarchs and studied the Pentateuch and studied all these prophecies of Isaiah. He said, let me tell you something. This is that. And he is the one that David was talking about. Let's prove it out. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made, everybody say made, that has made that same Jesus. What same Jesus? The same one he's been preaching about. That same Jesus whom you have crucified. Now, do you see verse 35? Do you see who he's talking about? Who you crucified. Who you crucified. Who you did not believe was the Son of God. That same Jesus. Now watch. That same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He made him what? Both Lord and Christ. Now the word Lord there in the Greek means owner. Oh man. I could do this all night long. His owner, master, Of course, Christ, we know, is anointed or anointed one. So watch. He is the one that has become the master and the owner, and he is the anointed one, the Messiah. He is the one that we've been telling you about. He is the one that David was prophesying and singing about and preaching about, and all the great patriarchs and all the crimson thread that goes through the Old Testament into the New Testament of the blood of the Lamb and the identification of the Messiah. He said, this is it. This is what we're talking about. He is Lord and he is Christ. He is the head of it all. I gotta wrap this up, but watch. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, can you give me five more minutes? I don't want to just shotgun this and leave. I want to get this to you real good, okay? All right. This is the difference between the dead church and a church that is alive and a live preacher and a live sermon compared to those that are historical. Now, the word for pierced, it's K-A-T-A-N-U-S-S-O. K-A-T-A-N-U-S-S-O. Katanoso, and that is 2660. Okay, that's for the word pierced. Okay? Now, the word pierced there, it means conviction. Katanoso means conviction. But it is more than just pierce, it's more than just conviction. I mean, it is a piercing unto death. It is such a powerful thrust of knowledge and truth that it just blew them away. It was like a fatal blow to what Peter was saying. So watch this. Remember, he said what? He's going to put his enemies under his feet, under the footstool, okay, until he makes them their footstool. So he brings the accusation. He brings out a convicting, blistering word under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's saying, you're the ones that did it. You're the ones that did not understand in totality that he was Lord and that he was the anointed one, the Messiah. Okay? Now, when they heard this, watch, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, watch what he says, men and brethren. Some translations just say brethren. But men and brethren. Notice this. These guys were the outcasts. Remember in the beginning? They were what? The drunks. Who are these vagabonds? Who are these people? Oh, these are the Jesus people. These are the Jesus freaks. These are the disciples of Jesus, the so-called imposter, this so-called quasi-messiah. Now, all of a sudden, this word was so powerful, so convincing, so convicting, so powerful of an anointing that was on Peter by the power of the Holy Spirit that they now called them brethren. I find that very, very interesting and very powerful, because this is what true preaching, true ministry, true doctrine, true truth of the word will produce. It will convert people. See, in order to be converted, you must be first convinced. We can't convince men because we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll go into that another time because I'm almost out of time. We don't have the convicting power of the Holy Spirit no more in our services. Therefore, we can't convince men of the hour that they're in, and we can't convince them of a need of a Savior. And I'm going to show that to you later on how the Holy Spirit and the purpose of the Holy Spirit was sent to do that. So watch this in closing. He said, apostles and men and brethren, what shall we do? Read it with me again. What shall we do? Say it one more time. What shall we do? Here they were, lamb blasting them in the beginning, cursing them, calling them all kinds of names. All this was taking place, but Peter stood up full of the Holy Ghost and fire with illumination from the presence of God. And he had a convincing and a convicting word that it caused these men to call them brethren and then say, what shall we do? Here's my closing statements. Our ministries should not only stir up the question, but the need to have an answer. It should not only just stir up the question, but it all should have this desire. It should also produce a desire for an answer. And we must have an answer to this generation. We're going to have an answer when all hell breaks loose in this country and around the world. When World War III begins in a shooting way. It's already happened. It's already started. But in a shooting way and begins to affect our world. We got to have that answer. And men are going to come to us. People are going to come to us and say, what shall we do? Amen. And we must have the answer because we have the truth. Now, verse 38. See you next Wednesday and I'll tell you the rest. Is that all right? We're going to get into that. But what shall we do? Man, that's powerful. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. And remember, this wasn't days that went by. This was one experience that began on the day of Pentecost and how fast everything churned on one sermon. On one sermon, things changed right there in front of our very eyes. Powerful truth. What shall we do? Well, we're going to tell everybody what to do every chance we can. Father, thank you for this opportunity to teach your truth today. Thank you for the wonderful, wonderful Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Lord, our Savior, our master, our owner, our Messiah, our deliverer, and being the administrator of the wonderful Holy Spirit. Lord, touch us fresh tonight at Ignited Church and those watching. Touch us fresh in our homes and our lives. Give us words to say to those that have so many troubling questions, and there's so few people who have answers. Help us be the people with answers today. Because, Jesus, you're the answer to every question that man would ever have. Father, protect us and bless us and shine your face down upon Ignited Church. We love you so much, Jesus. Bless your people everywhere. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Hey, I'll see you Sunday. You're awesome.